Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we teased it a little bit in our first segment. We're going to talk a little bit about that roster and how things are shaping up for the 22 season. Let's use quarter number two to talk about the offense. We'll get to the defense then in quarter number three. Let's start where we always do, Dusty, the quarterback. It was a big decision, big moment in the Penn State offseason at quarterback when Sean Clifford said he was going to return. In my opinion, that pretty much should end talk of transfer portal at all. Correct? At quarterback?
I would think so. I think right now when it comes to the development of the young guys, Christian Veyu, Bo Perbola, Drew Aller, I don't think it really helps any of them to bring in another veteran as a backup, especially when you have, you know, Christian Veyu who flashed whenever he got opportunities this past season. And then Drew Aller obviously looks like his game could translate pretty early on. I don't think you really risk the dynamic where you have three young quarterbacks watching every single thing that Sean Clifford does in his preparation, in his leadership, in how he studies, how he approaches things. There's a really good possibility here for Clifford to be a great mentor to these three young guys. You know, so there's that. And I think there's immediate value in that. It just does beg the question, you know, how far can Penn State go with the same old at quarterback? And I don't think not having Sean Clifford back is a better situation than this, but it does kind of, it's another step down that Sean Clifford road where, and I've made this point a few times before, Sean Clifford's, you know, emergence, so to speak, his favor with James Franklin cost them Tommy Stevens because the, you know, Tommy Stevens was expected to be the guy and he wasn't. So he ended up leaving the program and then ended up costing Will Levis as well. So will that loyalty to Sean Clifford pay off big? You know, that's the question. Pay off big. I mean, this team is 11-11 the last 2 years, right? So, you know, I think having Sean Clifford and having that veteran quarterback, it needs to yield something better than that. And you're beyond the point of saying, well, this happened, this was going on, the offensive line wasn't doing this. I mean, the what we learned about Sean Clifford this past year, I think, is that he's not the guy who can overcome serious deficiencies someplace else. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks who can overcome an offensive line that can't open up holes in the run game and can't protect in the pass game. You know, he's not that guy. And that's fine. But I think where Penn State is as a program, where fans want to see them be, is for that not to be the case anymore. You for that next quarterback to come in and be that guy. Be the guy who gives your offense some margin for error. And this offense just wasn't good enough last year, and I think Sean Clifford was a part of that. He wasn't good enough to overcome the rest of the problems that they had. And it's just hard for me to sit here and believe that changes dramatically overnight. If you surround him with if you protect him better, maybe we'll see a little bit better out of him. But, I mean, to me, it's just all about the development of these young guys at this point in time. And wondering, you know, if Sean Clifford is the same guy in 2022 as he was in 2021, is he the starter for the entire season? And that kind of goes back to where, you know, James Franklin's viewpoint of, they love him in the program and obviously he does everything right behind the scenes, but when the game starts, I mean, this isn't the guy who's going to take you to the college football playoff. I mean, I think that's safe to conclude at this point in time.
And I believe there's a segment of the Penn State fan base who will say to you, you know, the couple quarterbacks coming out of Oklahoma, the kid from USC, there were so many good quarterbacks this year who are changing jobs, you know, they're moving to other schools. Might there not have been one of them who would have been a better option than Sean Clifford this year? However, you did also mention, how about building the team around him better? And one of the deficiencies was that offensive line. We talked about it a little bit in the first segment that they're looking at a couple of the portal linemen. I mean, Dustin, what is it that we actually know about this Penn State offensive line going into the season? Do we know Fashanu's going to be the starting left tackle? We're pretty sure he'll get first shot at it. I think we know Juice Scruggs is going to be the center. I think we know Caden Wallace, if he's not starting at tackle, he could be starting at guard. I think we know those things. Is there anything else that we might know?
The points of optimism are this, in my mind. I think the coaching staff realized midway through the year that Juice Scruggs was a better center than Mike Miranda was. And that's why you saw, even in the Outback Bowl, you saw that flip-flop. So you can go into the year with a guy who's much more physically talented at center and who looks like he's got all the intangibles and looks like he could be a really, really good player there. So right off the bat, I think, you know, with a guy who now with Juice Scruggs having a full season of experience, a starting experience under his belt, you could see a guy who can be an impact player at center. And you did not have that in 2021. So there'd be one point of optimism. The second point I would make would be Sal Wormley. Missed all of last year. According to James Franklin, was projected to be a starter at guard. So if he's healthy and he's the guy that Penn State believes he is, then I think you've got a plug and play starter at guard there too. And then the third point of optimism that I would make is that Landon Tangwall had showed enough late last season, and you know his prospect background, you know his dimensions, you know what his attitude and what his work ethic seem to be. I mean, he seems to have all these really, really good things going for him. They showed up on film, I think, in the brief experience that we got with him. Whether that's a guard or that's a tackle, that's a storyline that'll be fascinating to me. If he proves that he can hold his own, let's say at right tackle, that opens up a whole world of possibilities when it comes to Caden Wallace. So now you're looking at, okay, is Caden Wallace a better guard than Landon Tangwall is? Is Landon Tangwall a better tackle than Caden Wallace is? I mean, that's a good conversation to be having. So I think with Tangwall, with Wormley, and Juice Scruggs' emergence as a possible impact player at center, there is a pathway here to have a better offensive line than you did last year. You know, one of the big variables, obviously, at left tackle without Rashid Walker back and, you know, not knowing for sure what Landon Tangwall brings to the table. I think they are still shopping for offensive linemen in the transfer portal. They could use a little bit more veteran help there. If not to start, then provide a little bit more stability on the two deep, because right now I think there's a few too many question marks on the two deep and not enough proven solutions. So I think they'll still be working on that. But I think there is reason to believe that a little bit of a shakeup here can be a good thing for this group.
I don't think the losses, Rashid Walker, from everything we hear, he will be drafted, but I don't think he had a good season. I don't think he was a good college offensive lineman left tackle. I don't think they're going to be a lesser team because of him leaving. Mike Miranda, been a good soldier, been there a couple years, been a starter. But again, I think that's replaceable. What would be a best-case scenario, Dustin, I think, is one or both of those transfer portal guys we talked about comes in. At least one of them shows he could be a starting tackle. Then you have options, and you have these guys who you hope, well, will a couple of them come through? And I think you named most of them, but there's also J.B. Nelson, the transfer from junior college, who's a big guy. Jimmy Crist is another name that people have talked about, and I know our own Ross Tucker likes him. You do need a couple of those guys to step up.
You need youngish guys to step their game up a little bit. And he's not in the tackle conversation, but a guy like Nick Dawkins. You know, you have young players who are in their second, third year in the program. Sal Wormley, I think, will be in his fourth, but who have an opportunity to work and develop behind the scenes and maybe be in a position to make that leap. They need a guy or two to make a leap like that. And, you know, I think the best case scenario to me would be for, let's say, a Tyler Steen to come in, or, you know, Hunter Norzad from Cornell. One of those guys to come in, hold down the job at right tackle. Olu Fashanu continue to show the staff that he's ready for that left tackle job. Landon Tangwall start his starting career at guard. You could see him bump out the tackle because I think he's got the dimensions and the wherewithal to play either position. And Caden Wallace move inside to guard. You do that, and you have Sal Wormley as another depth piece there. I mean, now I think you're starting to get a little bit closer to that solution that has a little bit more upside to it than we saw this past fall.
The couple other positions, I think tight end is set. You've got the numbers there. I'm not looking for anyone new to come in. It'll be interesting to see who's the number one guy. I think Theo Johnson was making that move towards the end of last season. But at running back, similar to last season, you've got four or five names. It'll be interesting to see when they come out of spring practice, will anyone say, okay, I don't feel like I'm going to be number one or number two. I may need to leave.
It's a possibility. I think the one thing with the transfer portal and the one thing with how these things develop is there are no rules. There are no baseline expectations. You could have guys come or go really at any point in time. You know, and whoever looks like they're going to be fourth or fifth in that pecking order, Penn State's really looking for a top three. If you don't make that top three, there's a reason to explore your options if you want, which is why Keziah Holmes made sense to redshirt last year. He was the odd man out, and I think it was kind of by design that they both probably wanted him to take another development year because he lost that chance in 2020. So it would make sense for you know, a Catron Allen to redshirt this year and take that development year on the front end and maybe try to work up that depth chart a little bit later when things, you know, sort out a little bit better. I think you have Kevon Lee going into winter, spring, probably summer as the man to beat for that top running back job. But I also think he's beatable for that top running back job. And I think they've got somebody who can show that. So it's not a bad thing. I mean, losing Noah Kane and losing what, you know, you hoped he would become, you know, going back to 2019, you know, he's getting a fresh start at LSU. Losing him is never a good thing, but I like the makings here of what they can do because unlike last year where you weren't sure there was a true number one running back on that roster, now I think you have somebody who can definitely be that true number one. He's a freshman. He doesn't need to be that right away if he needs a little bit of time. They've got Kevon Lee there too, and they've got Keziah Holmes, and they've got Catron Allen and Devin Ford right now. So there's a pretty good little group here. And also the thing that separates this group from last year is they've got somebody who can be an impact runner. That wasn't Noah Kane. That wasn't Kevon Lee. That wasn't John Lovett last year. Nick Singleton can be that guy. It's just a matter of when he's going to be ready to be that guy.
And finally, at wide receiver, not too long ago, this was the biggest question mark on the team. Now it's probably the most settled, and bringing in a guy like Mitchell Tinsley just adds depth to it, Dusty.
Depth and experience. And I think the experience part is huge. Now you're going to have a pretty heated competition for those fourth and fifth jobs. Malik Mega, Caden Saunders, Harrison Wallace, Liam Clifford, Jaden Dotton. All these guys are capable of winning that fourth wide receiver job. And that competition could bring the best out of all of them. Not a lot of experience, though, beyond that top three.
Exactly. Yeah. But I love the makeup. I feel real comfortable with Parker Washington, Lambert Smith, and now Tinsley as that starting three, and you got several options to be that next guy or two. Dustin, that's it for the offense. In quarter number three, we'll take a look at the defensive roster. Stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.